Brother Von Miller, Elwood Von Miller, that's been here. I told you one of the last times we talked about him, he was very sick, and of course he didn't come when we had him for scheduled for the veterans meal. But he called me. I'd called his wife to check on him, and he called me and thanked me for that. He's still not out of the woods. A lot of the stuff is gone, but he's bleeding internally somewhere, and they don't know where. They can't find it. They don't know what's going on. So remember Brother Elwood in prayer. Seemed like it was something else I forgot to, but I forget it again, I guess. If you're looking at your scripture reading and wonder how we got Christmas in Genesis 1, well, if you listened last week to the gizmo we sent out, live stream, that we are trying to take kind of historically and place the people who were important to the first Christmas. And John the Baptist, we talked about how he prophesied in the Old Testament, how Jesus talked about wasn't a greater prophet than all of the nation than him. And yet he said, yet the least in the kingdom of God. So what he was saying was, we have the same calling of doing greatness that he did. He announced him the first time. We're to announce him the second time. That's our job. Once we become Christians, we're supposed to announce he's coming again. And be you ready, for in such hours you think not, he will come. But the verse I wanted to key in on is verse 15 that was read in your hearing earlier, where he said, God's talking to Satan and the woman and Adam, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Okay. Now, all of us that were born of the seed of a man, not of the seed of a woman. Jesus was the only one that was ever born, was born the seed of a woman. And it shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman shall bruise his head. One day, he's going to put Satan away. I don't know if you realize how evil things are getting, but they now are discovering that the communists have embedded themselves in the Democrat Party, and they're everywhere. Spies, communist spies. You know, we've been talking about this stuff. Oh, well, that's social stuff. You don't hodge. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. And I said the next step is communism. We're already ready to take the next step. And we got the Socialist Party in office if Trump doesn't get in there. So the devil isn't really on the move. But there's coming a day when God is going to bruise his head and put him where he belongs forever and ever and ever. Praise God. And all the things that have happened to us. But thou shalt bruise his heel, meaning the crucifixion of Christ. See, God used, there's a verse in Proverbs that tells us God uses even the evil people for his purpose. And so he uses the evil devil and his workers, and he's using this evil virus to try us and make us better people and to make us work harder for him and realize that death is sure to come. We're living on the edge, folks. I believe we're at the very edge of it all. Okay? So we're talking about Mary, and the reason we're talking about Mary is because she's the one that would be able to give birth, and she's the one that Jesus, or God, promised in Genesis that a woman seed would bring forth the birth of Christ. Okay? Mary, the chosen of God, to give birth to the baby Jesus. So we set the scene up. We got John the Baptist, who's going to announce him. And by the way, we'll see this a little later, they were related. Elizabeth, who gave birth to John the Baptist, was a cousin to Mary. And that fits into the lineage of Christ. You'll see how that had to come in play too. But there were requirements of God for the woman to give birth to Christ. First of all, she had to be a virgin. Many of your modern texts read stuff as a young woman. But God said clearly it had to be a virgin. She was a young maiden. we don't know, somewhere between the age of 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that age, we're not sure, but we know it was like God said. And we find that promised in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. God is giving us signs all through. God said, in the last days you shall have trouble. You'll have it all about you. And we're saying, why have all these things happened? God said it's coming. God said it's going to get worse. And before the tribulation comes, thank God we'll be out of here. But God gives us signs and shows us of his coming and what he's doing. He says he doesn't do anything without telling his people. And he's told us and told us over and over, be ready, get ready. Things are happening and happening very fast. And then we find they also, the writer of Matthew, and you know Matthew was a very good Jewish man, and he knew the law. And he said in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. This is already in the New Testament. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted God with us. So we have it prophesied in the Old Testament. We have it prophesied in the New Testament. And then we have it fulfilled. Luke 1:27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And notice this phrase, we need to connect it to here directly, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So these people were satisfied that this woman was the one that God had promised from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. So we know that she was a virgin. The next thing, she had to be of the tribe of Judah. And where it spells that out is she was a cousin to Elizabeth, who was the wife of the prime minister, the priest, the head of one of their temples. And they had to be from the Jewish tribe. The Jewish Judah and Levi were the leaders, spiritual leaders of the nation Israel. And so we have that connection, and we know she fit that. She was of the tribe of Judah. And we find that no one could sit on the throne except that. So Jesus is going to sit on the throne one day, so he has to be of the tribe of Judah, of his physical birth. And he says in Luke 1:36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, and she was barren also. So we talked about that last week, how that was a miracle. We know that in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, they had a child in late birth, and here's one having a child in late years of their life. But no one has ever had a virgin to have a baby. It never happened before. It hadn't happened since. It just doesn't happen. And most of your writings about the birth of Christ, and we'll see some of that later on, maybe throughout the month when I do them each Sunday, I do a different one, a person or a character of the birth of Christ. We find that Luke, the physician, who knew that, he was a doctor, he knew that this is not humanly possible, but he knew then it took a miracle of God, not humanly speaking. People say, humanly speaking, it's impossible. And I've said this before, but may I repeat it? I get a little disturbed when they keep saying in the medical medicines and what they're doing and how they're going to get rid of this virus. We must follow the science. You know where the science has led us? It led us to evolution. The science led us to think that men can be women and women can be men. Science said, okay, man with man is okay. I don't want to follow the science. I want to follow God. And God corrected the humanistic thought that it had to be that way, and God had a virgin to conceive. In 1 Kings 12:20, and it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him into the congregation and made him king over all Israel. And there was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. So we have that connection. We make that. We see that. Many people are talking about the mistakes, misquotes, foul language, or whatever you want to use it, that Trump has used. If you check out these kings who God said we had to go through, many of them were vile. Many of them were evil. Many of them had to die a horrible death and all kinds of things. We know Ahab and Jezebel were the most wicked people there. And when we get to wicked president, but God either wills it or allows it. I've said that over and over about the virus. People say, God could have stopped it, right? He can do anything, but he chose not to. So either he authored it and sent it on us for a punishment, or he allowed it for the same reason. So we can't scratch our head, and we can't go any further and worry about it. It's like God said it was, okay? So we find that. We find this continued tribe of Judah in the book of Revelation, Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. What had happened here, they needed someone to open the book in heaven, and no one was capable of opening that book. But listen to what he said. Weep not. Behold, the Lion. Now, we've seen Jesus as the Lamb, and you hear many people talking today, and I'm not against giving people a view that Jesus is tender, he's loving, and he is, and he was that, and he gave his life on Calvary. But when he comes back the next time, he's coming as a Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's come to make havoc, and he's coming to make war. And the Battle of Armageddon says the blood will be bridle deep on the horses as they fight in that war when he destroys the enemies. And the last enemy, of course, death be assured. But he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, and he hath prevailed because he was perfect. He was sinless. He took away our sins. And he was the one that could open the book and loosen the seven seals. And we've been through that, and sometime we'll do that again in the book of Revelation about the seals that had to be opened, and each seal would present a different part of it. We find in Matthew 1:16, not only was Jesus connected to the Jewish tribe of Judah by his mother, his earthly father would be also. Notice in Matthew 1:16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay? So they were legally married by God and given the responsibility of raising up this child and taking care of this child. I'm sure they weren't perfect in what they did, as all of us are not perfect. We make mistakes. I find one of the hardest problems for parents to do when they do something imperfect in their discipline or their correction or their house, and their children see it, and they find it difficult to confess that they were imperfect and that they made a mistake. And then kids get the idea, well, when you get to be old and parent, then you can say and do whatever you want to, and everything goes because I say so. Now, that may be a good answer sometimes, but we need to make sure that we let our children know we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Only God, the perfect Son of God, is the only one that was perfect and perfect enough to take away our sins. The second thing we notice, the baby had to be born in Bethlehem. Micah said that in the Old Testament in Matthew 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little. I've said this many times, but may I stop and say it again? God delights in using little things. He delights in losing the children. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. We find Jeremiah, you begin to study on. He said, God, I'm but a child. I'm just getting started at this. God said, I'll tell you what to say and I'll tell you what to do. It seems that faith is stronger when you use little things. Use a little seed. Use a little room. Use a little box of alabaster. Whatever God used, use a little grain of dirt and start and mold and make a man. We had my brother-in-law's graveside yesterday. And I said to the family that was there, this is all dirt. That's all we are. It's dirt. Matter of fact, was it Job said, dust back to dust. We return back there. Well, I thought God's going to resurrect. Well, of course he is. And if God could make Adam out of dirt, God can surely find us if we're spread. What about the military people who drowned in the sea and fish ate them and all that? God will collect every piece of that body, every broken tooth, every part, every scar, every mark, and resurrect it. And then change it into a perfect body, he says. Praise God. God can do it. He don't have any trouble. He's not sitting up there as an old gray-haired man in a science room saying, follow the science now. He's saying, follow. Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we got to get that in our head. I'm not saying that scientists don't reveal things, but they only reveal to us what God already knew. And God was wishing. I always thought, maybe I shared it before, I think about Benjamin Franklin. He discovered electricity, right? With his kite string, right? I mean, y'all went to the same school I did. Is that right? Okay. He's out there and the lightning's striking. And God's saying, hold it up there. I'm trying to get electricity so people can have electricity. And he got it up there and bang, he saw it. Okay, we know there's electricity out there. I think about the telephone. Alexander of Emma calls, hey, where are you? No, you can't be there. You wouldn't be talking to me. Yes, I am. And then we now have it going through the air. We don't need a wire. Just send it out anywhere. Send pictures and all that. And God said, I want you to use all these miracles that I've showed you through science for the glorification and getting the gospel out. God uses little things. A little cell phone. Maybe I'm not supposed to say it from the pulpit, but it's true, so I'll say it. Charlie Pride, one of my favorite singers, he died. Did you hear that? And I was playing his Christmas carols. I loved the way he sang the Christmas carols. And he was a black guy that broke the barrier into country music. And just, he didn't whine, he didn't complain, and people loved him. And he did a great, great job. But I just think about how God uses us wherever we are to do it. So little Bethlehem, go to send to the big city. Go to the big city. Go to the big town. Must want it there. Soon they'll, I don't know, they won't drop the ball this year for the New Year's Eve, right? That's what they said. Going to stop that. They should put some of the Democrats in it and drop it somewhere else. And then maybe that'd take care of that, right? You agree with me? My wife's saying don't go there. But I think that's a good point, don't you? I think that's a good way to handle that. And he said, from among, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And then we find in Matthew chapter 2, it is fulfilled, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born, where? In Bethlehem. Just like God said, it didn't take us a scientist to get us there. It only God. God had it all planned. God used all the things that were going on to get them to the right place. And what was that? Pays taxes. Got to go pay the taxes. You got to go to Bethlehem. That's where your citizenship is. You got to get down there. Okay, Mary, I got us a donkey. That's the best I could do. You know? Okay? I saw where there's advertising new pickup trucks. They said they don't ride like your grandpa's pickup truck did. And they tell how nice they ride and all that. But she had to ride on the back of the donkey. No place to stay. God says, go knock on the door here. Well, I don't have a place, but out back here we've got a place where we keep the traveler's sheep and goats and stuff, so you can stay there. The lowliest place, the littlest place, that's where he was born. Oh, little, a little. You're not too little. You're not too small. What you have to give to God is not too small. He delights in taking the small things and making a lot out of them. When the widow was going to take care of the prophet, Elijah, a widow, he said, give me something to eat. She said, you kidding? I got the last bit of oil and the last bit of meal, and I'm going to make a cake, and my son and I are going to eat it and die because that's all we got. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Now, this defies science. He said, you feed, make me a cake first. You know what that symbolized? Do for God first. On the first day of the week, or the first tenth of your income, give God first. You give God first place in your life. You let God have first place, and your life will be different. Wait till last. If I got anything left over, I'll give to God. If I got any time left over, I'll be there. I might be there, Pastor Hodge, if I get done all my work in time. Hello? And then things go haywire and you wonder why nothing's going the way it should. You can't fox God. God's been at this a long, long time. Make sure the first day of the week, when you give everything to God, give it to God. So she said, well, might as well, we're going to die anyway. Now, she didn't say that in the Bible. That's just my version of the story. He's the prophet. He said, do it. I've been used to listening to the prophet anyway, so I'll make him a cake. And the Bible says the crews didn't run out of oil. How long was there? 6 months? They didn't run out of oil. The feed barrel didn't run out. They just kept eating. And while the rest of the country was in a drought and saying, how are we going to get by? How are we going to make it? We don't have enough. We got to ration. We got to make sure we don't give it all away to the wrong people. And they got by. They got by because they listened to God. Listen to God when he's talking. There isn't a thing that happens in your life that God isn't speaking to you in some way about. Some way. We got to get used to that. God is speaking because if it's bad, God allowed it. If it's either allowed it or willed it. So God's trying to get that to say something to you about yourself, about what you're doing, about how you're handling life, and all that. Mary, lastly, we notice here, Mary gave the instructions at the wedding to obey Jesus. Now, the wedding's recorded in John chapter 2. And this is the first miracle that Jesus did. I get to thinking sometime, by the way, they've give up on me at Hershey. They say the only recourse I have is to take out my voice box and all that. And you can talk. It may not be your voice. You can talk. And you won't aspirate anymore. And you can eat and all that. They say, well, I don't think I'm ready for that. I have a friend, my wife's hairdresser, her brother-in-law, older than I am. They made him, a doctor down here in Pittsburgh, made him an esophagus, took his out and made him one. And she said he now eats anything that he wants to. I said, here's his number. Call that man. I called him. They said, we're going to get back to you on Monday. We'll let you know. And I told the doctors at Hershey before I left, I said, I'm going to get a second opinion. Oh, go right ahead. He said, matter of fact, I'll give you some names of some people. He said, I'm not threatened by that, Mr. Hodge. I'm not threatened at all. I said, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just not ready. It's my life and my throat, because when they do that, they can't go back in a garbage can and unfold that thing and put it back in there. It's gone forever. This time, the only person who can put it back in there is God. He could do that. I said that earlier, didn't I? Think about God finding that voice box, if I did that in the resurrection, and putting it back in this body because he'll resurrect. You ever thought about stuff like that? Do you think, you say that's childish. You know, we need to think like children sometimes. I remember when we used to have when the kids were little, we used to have our devotion, and we'd ask for a prayer request, and one of the kids would raise his hand and say, let's pray for the refrigerator. It's going bad. I thought, what faith? What faith? Pray for the refrigerator. Pray for my little fish. It looks like he's dead in the pot. What faith? What faith? And we just think everything in life, we got to do it. And God says, come on. You can help me with this, and I'll show you how to do it. But they were at the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding. By the way, did you ever notice how Jesus liked to have fun? He liked to be with the kids. He liked to get them on his knees. He liked to talk to them. And the things he said are hilarious. You know, really. He said, you guys would swallow a camel and gag at a gnat. I see those prophets with their camels' feet hanging out of their mouth. I mean, really, that's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, honestly, got to be Presbyterian, like, you can't be laughing in church, you know. I think he did. The Bible says God laughs at our evil stuff because we've made a mess. We're like kids. We say, don't go outside. You're ready for church. Don't go outside and get your clothes all dirty till we get ready. They go outside and get dirty. You say, ha, look at you. I told you. I told you what was going to happen. God said that. But John chapter 2, and the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they don't have any wine. At least she went to the right place. She didn't go to the back in there and say, you guys got to make some more wine. You got to get this stuff going. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, just stand back and watch God work here a minute. His mother said unto the servants, here's the greatest statement that she made at that wedding. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. What I've been saying to you this morning is whatever God says to you, do it. It don't make sense, do it. When God don't make sense, do it anyway because God said to. Oh, we just don't live that way today, Pastor Hodge. We don't do what God said to do. Listen to God. As I said, science get it right sometimes, but the only thing they get right is whatever God already had right anyway. And he was trying to show us electricity. He was trying to show us. They're talking about how fast they did this virus shot. They got it out now, right? Starting tomorrow. Well, God has been saying all the time, come here, boys. Come here, guys. Look here. If you take this stuff and put with this stuff and then half this stuff and then you take this and you take the frog or the mouse or whatever you're going to do and put it in him, and see how he reacts. God already, who made the mouse? Who made the chemicals? Oh, God did. Amen? Lastly, think about this about Mary. We're talking about Mary, the one who's going to give birth. Because she had to have a lot of faith. But really, she didn't in a way. I mean, it happened, so it was there. So what are you going to tell people? How was her mom and dad going to explain this? Do you know that if young girls had a sexual relationship before they were married, if the husband wanted to, the one that's married, they'd bring her out to the stoning pit and throw the stones, and the parents had to be the first ones to throw the stone. How do you like to live like that? Aren't you glad for the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ that makes us? Then notice lastly, in John 19:25, his mother was at the cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. He was there. That's when he said to John, the disciple John, take my mother and be a son to her. Mother, he's going to be a son to you. Isn't it amazing when he was dying on the cross, he still cared about people? We go through a little trouble. Well, I'm sick of church. People don't appreciate what I do. He kept doing. When the thief cried out, remember me, he said, today you'll be with me. And all that agony, couldn't he have said, would you shut up? I'm having enough trouble just getting through this right now. And you're wanting me to remember you? Shut up. You've lived a wicked life. Just die and go where you're going. But no, he tenderly forgave him. How about that? How about that? He cared about people. She stood by the cross, and there was Jesus dying. We have a wonderful Savior. He did come. Many miracles, much more to this miracle. It was a miracle, John the Baptist's birth. It was a miracle what God said to Satan would happen, but it happened. We have all the miracles, and yet we still don't believe. Where is God in all this? I'll be honest with you. I don't know either. Brother Fon Miller was talking to me last night on the phone, and he was explaining some of his experiences with pneumonia, exactly the same as mine. We're about the same age. He said, I was having experiences, Pastor Hodge, that I cannot explain. I have to tell you, all three times I've been in with pneumonia, I never felt an ounce of pain. I don't know what happened. I really don't. God just took me through it. The people who were in pain were my wife and my family. And when the doctor said, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I don't think he's going to make it. He came in one morning and I was trying to get out of bed and I told him I need to take a shower or something. And he said, I thought you'd be dead this morning. I said, well, God wasn't ready, sir. That's all I can tell you. But in the meantime, I got to get this old body out of bed and get to working. He said, well, that's a good sign. Something's going on. You know, God is, I don't know why God does and allows what he does, but I know he's never been wrong, and he's always right. And no matter how discouraged we get, we keep on going. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you for coming this morning. Almighty God and eternal Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God, thank you for visiting us this morning. Thank you for going to Calvary and dying for us. Thank you for tolerating, putting up with us, continually forgiving us, loving us in spite of the fact that we're not always lovely. Lord, be with Brother Fon Miller today with this blood issue. Lord, he was so gracious that I took the time to call his wife. What a little thing. But he said it meant so much to them. Lord, maybe there's somebody out there we need to call. How can we be witnesses and loving and kind and helpful? Because there's coming a day when a terrible wrath of God is coming. May we please you, Lord. May we follow you. May we listen to you in our crashing moments when the world is crashing and it feels like a storm is coming. May we see where God is and what is God saying. Help us, dear Lord. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, there's a piano plays for a few moments. At this Christmas time, may I ask you, as she plays softly, have you really given your all this past year to him? I'm not necessarily talking about your money. It could include that. It's his birthday. Is there something else, something more that you should give him? that you haven't given him, your love to somebody that needs your help. I don't know what it is in your personal life. I know in mine, God keeps speaking to me, love people, Pastor Hodge. Just keep loving people no matter what. Just keep preaching for me. You don't need to know everything. And if I knew everything, it's like God said, you'd go crazy. I don't know what the next hill is. I don't know what the next burden is. But I know one thing. He leads me along. He leads me each step. And he's leading our church. God is blessing this church in so many ways. So many ways. I want to be one of those that helps move it, not one of those that questions all the wise. Are you here this morning and you have someone in your life, your family, your a family member, maybe somebody you can't get along with, but you think they need to be saved and you'd like to have remembered in prayer? Just raise your hand and say, I've got people like that in my life, Pastor. Thank you. Now, you know when you pray, one thing I've learned is God does more inside of me when I pray for people than he does for the person I'm praying for. God wants to work in our lives. We're singing a number 546, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look in his full in his face and let the things of this world dissipate and get out of the way. Just see Jesus. Where is he at in all of it? I saw him a lot when I was sick and in the hospital. Fawn Miller said, I'm not a charismatic, but I know God was there with me. Up there with me.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him there. Over us is sin no more dominion, for more than we're conquerors are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I don't, I don't want to weary you with all of my stuff, but I go Tuesday up to the VA hospital for my dermatologist has to check me out. Time for that, and I need to see my doctor up there too about some other issues. And then that's Tuesday, and Monday of next week, the following week, I have to go back for my PET scan. They do that every 6 weeks, see if my cancer is under control. I just see it seems like I'm going to the doctor somewhere every week, someplace. It's just craziness, but do what I can, and I guess God wants me to keep witness to these people, and I try to do that in as kind and as good a way as I can and tell them it's Christmas time and Jesus came, and what a platform we have for telling the story. It's time, right? Merry Christmas. Oh, you believe in that stuff? Yeah, I believe in that stuff. I believe it. I believe it because God said so. Let's look to the Lord. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer, please?